Let's go ahead and open our Bibles to two places, as you see on your handout tonight. James chapter 3, and that's just a few verses I want to read here. And then Proverbs chapter 1, James chapter 3, put that here, and Proverbs chapter 1. For the last few weeks, I've been really praying about and thinking about, Lord, where would you want me to go? Is there another message you want about the characteristics or the marks of a strong church? And he's been continually aiming or pointing my heart towards the book of Proverbs.
Amen.
And not to necessarily do a, you know, verse by verse through Proverbs, but I guess you could call it some pickings from Proverbs. I don't know, principles from Proverbs, what I have here. But I think we want to do that starting tonight. So, in fact, we are going to do that starting tonight. Amen?
Amen.
All right, James chapter 3. And notice verse, it says 1 through 13. It's actually verse 13 is where we're looking at. James chapter 3 and verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy.
Amen.
And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace.
Amen.
Now, I want you to notice two verses in this passage. And the first verse is verse 13, where I got the title here for this evening. Who is a wise man? Who is a wise man? Good question, isn't it?
Amen.
And then in verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above.
Amen.
Let's go over to Proverbs chapter 1 now. This is where we're going to really look at this evening, the first six verses. Proverbs chapter 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction. To perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. It's going to be kind of an introductory message tonight, so if you allow me to lay some foundational things, because that's what he does here.
Amen.
In Proverbs chapter 1. He's really laying the foundation of the entire book.
Amen.
And so I'm going to try to do that tonight and lead into some other things throughout this book. So let's pray together. Father, we thank you again for this evening. It's a joy to be in your house tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your love to us. Father, we need thee tonight. We need thee in this day that we live in. You said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, we need it.
Amen.
We all need it tonight and every day.
Yes,
so I pray as I preach your word tonight, you'd please fill me afresh and anew with thy spirit. Amen. Remove any distractions from this room and from our minds tonight. And may your word go forth with power and clarity this evening. Lord, we need your help tonight.
Yes,
your sheep need food. And you have the food. Use me to give it out this evening. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. 2008, 60 Minutes did a segment that was entitled, The Millennials Are Coming. The Millennials Are Coming. Correspondent Morley Schaefer said this, "Stand back, all bosses. A new breed of American worker is about to attack everything you hold sacred, from giving orders to your starched white shirt and tie. They are called, among other things, millennials. There are about 80 million of them born between 1980 and 1995 and are rapidly taking over from the baby boomers who are now pushing 60. They were raised by doting parents who told them they were special, played in little leagues with no winners and losers, but all winners. They are laden with trophies for just participating, and they think that your, quote, business as usual ethic is for the birds. Generally speaking, these millennials, and again, generally speaking, have a new way of doing things. They think things ought to be done different than they were before. Bruce Ritter wrote an article entitled this, Rise of the Millennials, Why They Know So Much, Yet Understand So Little. They run supermarket registers and department store counters. They loiter in malls in large groups, barely saying a word to each other because they are too busy text messaging other friends. Many graduate from college and take on entry-level positions in office complexes where ties, dress shoes, and general business attire are extinct, and they call their gray-haired bosses by their first names. They are smart, resourceful, talented, highly educated, team-oriented, and well-traveled, yet the average millennial does not know how to function in an office setting. He does not see the value of the advice of the older, more seasoned generation who has paid their dues and refuses to take their advice. Now, I didn't say that. Somebody else did. I just quoted it. But we are living, no doubt, in a generation where the average young person can type a text almost as fast as the average person can speak. They know the ins and outs of the latest cell phones. They know how to operate an iPad, a laptop. They can set up their own YouTube channel and their own Facebook account, their own Instagram account. They know all about the latest video games, the latest apps. They know how to airdrop photos and documents. Yet there's one thing that is sorely lacking in their lives. Wisdom. They lack wisdom. Now, I'm not picking on a certain group tonight because I'm going to expand it right now and say this. This is true not only of the millennials,
Amen.
But of people in general today,
Amen.
Young and old.
Amen.
There is a great lack of wisdom in this world today.
Amen.
Oh, I think of Job chapter 4 and verse 21. The Bible says, doth not their excellency which is in them go away? They die even without wisdom. You know, often we use the words wisdom and knowledge interchangeably, but they're not interchangeable.
Amen.
They're different.
Right.
We get the idea if someone knows a lot or is smart in an area, math or science or in the medical field, or they hold some sort of advanced degree in a field like biochemistry, or maybe they're successful in business, or they're successful with money, or perhaps they invented something, you name it, we get the idea if that person knows that much, boy, they must be wise. That's not necessarily true. They may be, but they may not be. Because someone can have a lot of head knowledge, they can know a lot of things, yet lack wisdom. And understand the words wisdom and knowledge have different meanings. Perhaps you want to jot this down. I didn't write it down. I should have. But knowledge is defined as this, the acquaintance with facts, truths, or principles. That's what knowledge is. You know certain facts. You know certain principles there in your mind. Knowledge is typically gained through books or through research or through delving into facts or experience. Wisdom, on the other hand, is something totally different. Wisdom is defined as this, having the power of discernment and judging properly as to what is true and what is right. Wisdom is defined also as possessing discernment, seeing where things will lead, knowing how things are going to turn out, using judgment and discretion. You see, wisdom is knowing how and when to use the knowledge that's in your head. It is the ability to take the knowledge and then apply it to any situation. It's putting knowledge into practice in a way that will bring forth the best results and be best for all those involved. And there is only one place that you and I, or anybody for that matter, can get true wisdom.
Amen.
That's from God.
Amen.
There's no other place.
Praise the Lord.
Proverbs 2:6 says this, "For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." God is the possessor of wisdom. James chapter 1 and verse 5, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God." Not ask another man, not ask a person. Let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. So for this next series, I'd like to take a journey here through the book of wisdom. I know what you're saying, Mr. Halo Polisher, that the entire Bible is the book of wisdom. I understand that. Yes, it is. But this book of Proverbs was given to us distinctly, and you'll see that here in a moment, for wisdom. Because all of us, whether you're a millennial, old or young, no matter where you are, all of us must have and we need God's wisdom. And so tonight I'd like to begin this introductory message that I've entitled, notice, "Who is a Wise Man?"
Amen.
You know, the book of Proverbs, as I've said a moment ago, is known as the book of wisdom because the major theme in the book of Proverbs is wisdom. You could divide the book of Proverbs into six parts, chapters 1 through 7, if you like this sort of thing, and address to Solomon's son. So the first seven chapters kind of have to do, for the most part, with a father instructing his son. Chapters 8 and 9 present the blessings of wisdom. Chapters 10 through 19 present the follies of sin, what to stay away from and how sin is foolishness. Chapters 20 through 29 are further warnings and instructions, kind of little bits here and there, although we'll find that throughout the book of Proverbs. And then chapter 30 is the Proverbs of a man by the name of Agur. And then chapter 31 is the Proverbs of King Lemuel, whom I'm of the position that is Solomon, as well as the rest of most of the Proverbs here. So let's begin here at the introduction, because really the first six verses of the book of Proverbs is an introduction to Proverbs to see what we can learn about what to expect in the coming weeks as we look at wisdom from above. Not wisdom from below, but wisdom
Amen.
From God.
Amen.
Let's notice, first of all, would you write this down, the revelation of Proverbs. Verse 1 tells us the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. What are these Proverbs? Remember, the Bible is God's revelation of Himself to us. It is God's message to man through man, or through men. Now, we know that because of several verses in the Bible, one of them being 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21. "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." So what you have in front of us here, we have the words of God. We heard that last Sunday night, 2 Timothy 3:16. "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God." So while this book of the Bible, Proverbs here, begins by saying the Proverbs of Solomon, don't miss what it is exactly. In reality, we could say that these are the Proverbs of God through Solomon.
Amen.
That's what they are. These are God's Proverbs that He used a man, to pen down. Now you may say, what is a proverb? A proverb is this. It is a short sentence expressing a well-established truth.
Amen.
That's what a proverb is. I'll say it again. A short or a pithy sentence expressing a well-established truth. Now, we know that the source of all truth is God. Jesus Christ said himself in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So any saying that someone else may say, you name a name, whatever you think of, that is true, it's not true because they thought of it themselves. It's true because they either stole it from God or borrowed it from God, or it agrees with what God already has established as a truth.
Amen.
So don't look at them, look at God's words. So Proverbs is a collection not only wise sayings, but divine sayings, perfect sayings, surely true sayings. Look with me, if you would, over at Psalm 19, just a few pages back, Psalm 19 and verse 7. And let's not forget, when we look at the Word of God, what it is described as in Psalm 19 and verse 7. Notice we read, familiar verse, the law of the Lord is what?
Perfect.
That means without error.
Amen.
That means this is pure truth. So as we go back to Proverbs chapter 1, we understand that we are being given here the Almighty God's wisdom. Absolute wisdom.
Amen.
You know, there's an oft-repeated statement that enjoys almost unquestioned and universal acceptance. And that is this. Now listen up, young person. This is so important right here. This will help you through your life.
Amen.
It goes like this. Experience is the best teacher.
Amen.
That's not true. You see, contrary to popular belief, experience itself proves that experience is not the best teacher. Because it's not. You see, experience frequently leaves wounds. Experience frequently wastes precious time. It frequently squanders valuable resources and sometimes even causes irreparable damage. You remember when you were a kid and someone would dare you to do something? Maybe they wanted you to try something. I don't know when you got saved or what your background is, but of course kids try to tempt kids. Hey, try this here. Try this cigarette or try this drink or this beer or this alcohol or this marijuana. And of course, you know, typically the child would say, I don't want that. I don't really like that. And of course, the response would always be, how do you know if you never tried it? That's not a good philosophy, by the way.
Right.
You see, you don't have to try heroin to know that it's wrong.
Right.
You don't have to drink a bottle of poison to know that you shouldn't drink poison.
Right.
You get my point? You see, the Bible, and I want you to note this here, it's on the blank there. The Bible emphasizes precept, not the experience, as being our primary teacher.
Amen.
I'll say that again. The Bible emphasizes, we word it a little bit different than on your sheet. The Bible emphasizes that precept, not experience, should be our primary teacher. And the reason for that is that God's precepts are perfect. They're without error. They're always good. They're always right. You see, a Bible precept rightly applied will always bring not only good results, but the best results possible.
Right.
And so as we look at the book of Proverbs, understand it is filled with God's precepts.
Right.
You know, the book of Proverbs deals with so many subjects. Subjects like finances. It deals with debt and credit and the proper use of riches and proper savings and planning. It deals with the subject of marriage. It deals with the subject of raising children. It deals with the subject of friends. It deals with the subject of alcohol. It deals with the character traits of honesty and diligence. And then the flip side, laziness. It deals with manliness. It deals with what it means to be a woman and what it means to be a homemaker. It deals with exercising self-control and the proper use of our tongue. It points out what it means to be a scorner or a mocker or an angry man or an angry woman or a fool or a backslider. It's even going to talk about the food that we eat, talking about gluttony. Sorry about that, but it talks about it. And much, much more. You see, in Proverbs, understand what we're going to be dealing with. God is revealing to us His wisdom for us in this world. And again, I repeat it because of importance. Our primary teacher should be God's precepts, not personal experience. You know, a wise person once said this, and excuse the phrase if you don't like it, but I'm just quoting what he said. He said, "Life is hard. It's even harder for stupid people." And that's true. And for people that won't take wisdom, people that won't take instruction, that's what he's talking about. And understand, since the consequences of wrong choices, and you've been there, and I've been there, you've made them, and I've made them, those consequences can linger for literally decades. We desperately need to know God's answers to life's questions. We need His wisdom, and God is revealing it to us here through Proverbs. You see, reading and heeding the Proverbs will give you and me a real advantage in every area of life. Listen, young person, this is for you. You don't have to go through the, quote, school of hard knocks. You can save yourself a lot of heartache and a lot of trouble if you will simply read the Proverbs and heed the Proverbs. It'll save your neck, if you don't mind me saying it that way. So we see, number one, the revelation of Proverbs. Then we see, number two, notice the reason for Proverbs. Well, let's read what it says. I'm not going to say a whole lot more than a simple, brief explanation about these phrases. Notice the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. Here it is. Notice, semicolon. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. So notice we see here a fivefold purpose of Proverbs. King Solomon, as he's penning these words, the son of David, he's telling us here is why, and God, by the way, is doing this, here is why I'm giving you the Proverbs. There are five reasons here why. Let's see what they are and take them apart, not a lot, but just briefly. Letter A, notice the first one, to know wisdom and instruction.
Amen.
We need it.
Amen.
You need it and I need it. This is the first of 53 times in Proverbs that the word wisdom is being used. To know wisdom. Why do we need to know wisdom and instruction? Because our God in heaven wants to show us how He wants us to deal with life. How He wants us to handle things. How He wants us to respond to things. Things He wants us to do. Things He wants us not to do. Things He wants us to cling to. Things that He wants us to stay away from. And He's going to give them to us throughout the Proverbs, line upon line, precept upon precept, so that when you and I meet any situation in these areas of life, we don't have to scratch our head. We don't have to ask someone else. We can know from the book of Proverbs and from God's Word what is the right thing to do. We don't have to experience it. We just have to do it, knowing that God's way is the best way.
Right.
So the first one is to know wisdom and instruction. Notice the second one. To perceive the words of understanding. What is that word, perceive? The word perceive has the definition of this. To discern. It means to look well to. You see, the Proverbs are given to us so that we are able to discern what is right and what is wrong. All of us face situations every day of our lives, whether it be in the workplace, whether it be in the school, whether it be with relatives, whether it be with friends, whether it be with neighbors, that we have to decide, how am I going to handle this situation? What am I going to do here? How am I going to deal with it? I need discernment. And that's what this is about, the book of Proverbs. God wants us to perceive, to understand these, perceive the words of understanding. So you and I will not have a doubt. This is the way I'm supposed to handle this. This is the right thing to do. And then the third thing, notice in verse 3, we see not only to know wisdom and instruction, not only to perceive the words of understanding, but thirdly, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. So notice we already dealt with the wisdom part of it. Notice how God says He wants to instruct us in three areas here. Here they are. Ready? Write them down if you would. Justice, judgment, and equity. Let's deal with the first one, and that is justice. We have Supreme Court justices. We're supposed to anyway. They're supposed to be exercising the law, right? And that sort of thing. And so justice has the idea of you and I knowing how to make the right decision. To do what is in accordance with God's word. To do what is in accordance with His law. Amen. To do what is morally correct. Right. To operate as a person that is just. Amen. We'll talk about equity here in a moment. So God wants to give us that insight, that discernment, and instruction in that area of justice. But then also notice judgment. That's the second one. Notice what it says. To know what the right thing is to do. You know, the Bible talks about in the last days that right will be wrong and wrong will be called right. And that's the days we're living in today. Who would have ever thought 30 years ago that just about every single program that's run on the screen, the television screen, would have a sodomite on it or a couple like that on it, and we would be hailing, people would be hailing same-sex marriages and encouraging young people to follow what they think their gender is, not their biological birth sex, but what they think they are. Who would have thought we'd be here today? Who would have thought that they would look at the conservative person, the Bible-believing Christian, as being the enemy of our nation, the enemy of our culture? You and I, by the way, are the enemy. Everything has been turned upside down here. I mean, to imagine to think that we would say, hey, Jesus loves you and He wants to save your soul would be something that would offend people, that people would get mad at. I'm still waiting, by the way, for someone, one of us, to get some guff beyond the normal guff for those jackets that we wear. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I wouldn't doubt one day someone would say, you need to take that jacket off. You're going to come in this store. We'll see. I'm just saying that's the way things are headed. My point is this. We need God's wisdom because everything is flipped upside down today. We need to know this is right and this is wrong, and we can have confidence in it if we know God's word. And that means we need to know the Proverbs, because He's trying to instruct us in judgment. Then the third thing, notice, is equity. Equity. Equity means this. Notice, to know how to deal with things fairly. As believers, that's what we need. We need to be fair. As parents, we need to be fair. We need to be impartial. We need to do what's right. In the workplace, if you're a supervisor, you need to do what's fair. We're not playing favorites here or there. And we need to know how to do that. And that is something that the Proverbs is going to help us to do. To know how to deal with things fairly. And then there's a fourth thing. Notice, not only, if you would, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of justice, judgment, and wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. But then notice verse 4. We read to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. I can't tell you how many times that I look back, and I know God's way is perfect. He has a reason, and He uses our past to really help us be more effective in the future, despite the fact it may not have been His way. But I many times look back on my life and say, boy, I wish I were saved as a young person. Anybody else like that? You raise your hand. I wish I were saved younger. You know what I mean? Thank the Lord for those of you that were saved young. Praise the Lord for that. All the things that you've been taught and you've been kept from because of it. But notice it says here, the Bible says to give subtlety to the simple. By the way, all of us begin as simple. We do. Not me, I'm a smart person. No, you started simple just like the rest of us. We need God. In other words, not knowing things, we need God's wisdom. And the Proverbs, notice, will give us, it's an interesting word, subtlety. That's interesting. You say, what do you mean to be subtle? No, it means this. That word subtlety means this, to be savvy. It means to be able to perceive things. It means to be prudent. So notice again in verse 4, to give subtlety to the simple. And that's what we need. We need that. We need God to help us. And then the fifth one, notice, is to give the young man knowledge and discretion. You know, the youth, and please hear me out. I'm not trying to pick on anybody, but I believe this to be true. Youth are often ignorant. I was ignorant when I was young. I just didn't know anything. I mean, really, youth are often ignorant. They're often undisciplined. They're often naive. They're often emotional and impulsive. They are easily swayed by the opinions of this world. They are easily swayed by worldly friends and influential people like sports stars or Hollywood stars or music icons. I mean, the youth are easily swayed. And that's why it's such a dangerous time as a child starts to get into the youth and those years where they head into adulthood. There are some big decisions that are often made, college and marriage and all of that. And it's very important to make those decisions wisely. You see, the youth greatly need biblical guidelines to have the right goals, to make the right choices. He needs to be settled in his principles and have sound, practical, scriptural truth to guide his life by.
Amen.
You need God's wisdom.
Amen.
And these are the things that Proverbs provides for all of us. You know, we don't need a book written by a man.
Right.
Although they can be helpful. I have plenty of books. You say, preacher, I've seen your office. Some have seen my library at home. You say, you got a lot of books. What do you mean? Well, they're helpful, but they're not the Bible.
Amen.
They're not God's Word. And we don't need, often we'll say, preacher, I'm having trouble in my marriage. Do you have a book you can recommend? Yeah, I do. I'm having trouble with our teenager and they seem to be straying and going off. Do you have a book you can recommend? Yeah, I do. Preacher, we just had a baby how do we raise our child? What about disciplining? What's the right way and the wrong way? Is there a book you can recommend? Well, yeah. Preacher, I'm having trouble with my finances. I can't make ends meet. And we're in a lot of debt and we have this and that. Do you have a book you can recommend? I do.
Amen.
You see, on and on we could go. We have a book. It's called the Bible. Perhaps, and excuse me for saying this, I'm not meaning to offend anyone, but I'm going to say it anyway. Perhaps we're just too lazy to dig out the truth and find what the Bible says about some subjects.
Amen.
We'd rather somebody chew it up and spit it out for us in a book form instead of us trying to figure out what it says. Why would you go to someone else before you went to the pure,
Amen.
Unadulterated words of God
Amen.
That'll give you the pure truth? Oh, God, help us. Notice, it's to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. That's the reason for Proverbs. But then number three, notice in verse 5 and 6, the last thing, and that is this, the response to Proverbs. So God says, here it is. It's the Proverbs of Solomon, really of God, through Solomon. And I'm giving it to you for all this, all these reasons. Here's why. You can have everything you need to live the Christian life, to live a profitable life, a life of success, biblical success, if you will, if you'll just do these things. Look at verse 5. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels, to understand the proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. Notice the phrase in verse 5, especially one particular word, but the phrase is, a man will hear.
Amen.
A wise man.
Amen.
The word hear. Now understand, this word hear is more than just audibly hearing something. I hope tonight everyone's audibly hearing me. I would assume you are. We have the microphones are. Most of you are awake, and that's a good thing. Quite unusual for a Wednesday night, but pretty good anyway. Just kidding. Maybe. But it's more than just listening. It's more than just hearing the sounds. It's even more than just nodding your head and giving some sort of mental assent to what is being said. I'm sure all of us, everything you heard tonight, you said, yeah, I agree with that. And that's good. We should do that. But it doesn't end there.
Amen.
It should never end there.
Right.
You see, this hearing is the same hearing that the Lord Jesus Christ said again and again and again through the gospel records.
Amen.
Hold your hand here. Go to Matthew 13 quickly. Amen. Matthew chapter 13. Kingdom parables. Verse 3. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. Verse 4, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, and some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Can you imagine when the Lord Jesus Christ was saying this? Perhaps there was someone there doing this. That's what. Oh. And Jesus said, who hath ears to hear? Let him hear.
Amen.
Not just hear the sound.
Right.
James 1:19 puts it this way. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. The idea, both in the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the kingdom parables, and in the book of Proverbs, and in the verse in James 1 that I just quote, is this. Hearing what is said and following it with obedience.
Amen.
That's what he's saying.
Right.
Hearing it and following it with doing it.
Amen.
That's the hard part. But it's the wise part.
Amen.
James 1:22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. That's what James is saying here. Don't fool yourself. Don't think because, hey, I go to an independent fundamental Baptist church. We believe the King James Bible. We believe in separation and standards. We're not going to these little groups on Sunday night. We're preaching the word of God on Sunday night. Man, we are a Bible preaching, Bible thumping, blood believing Baptist church. That's what we are. Well, good. But even though all that's true, your life could be a failure.
Right.
And my life could be a failure. I could even preach this stuff. Have a nice little outline and sheet every time. But if we're not doing it,
right,
this preacher's going to fail. We have to put into practice what He tells us to do. You see, the wise man does this. He listens to the Proverbs. He hears them. And he listens to wise counsel from the Word of God. And he understands, the wise man, that he is to continually learn.
Amen.
We never arrive.
Amen.
We've never gotten there.
Right.
Till we meet Jesus.
You
see, the wise man never considers himself too old for instruction.
Amen.
Too smart to learn. I've heard lots of sermons, so I've heard these passages before. He doesn't take that attitude.
Right. Amen.
He sits and he listens and realizes God has something for me. And as he reads the Proverbs, he takes them and he puts them into practice.
Amen.
For the next, who knows how many Wednesdays, we're going to be smacked around with some God's wisdom about life and marriage and money, you name it. Scorners and wise men and simple men, all kinds of subjects. God's going to tell us His wisdom. But the difference in your life and my life is not just being here on Wednesday nights. It's taking that truth and saying, I need to do that in my life and change
Amen.
It. And I need to do it right now.
Amen.
That, my friend, will make you and me a wise man.
Amen.
So full circle tonight, we're back to the beginning. Who is a wise man? Would you tonight say, make a commitment to the Lord as we're beginning this little journey here? And I'm not going through the entire book, I don't think. We'll see how it goes. But would you make a commitment by saying this, Lord, by your grace and with your help, I know I'm not perfect, but I am going to be a wise man.
Amen.
I am going to not only hear, but I'm going to put it into practice. I'm going to do.
Amen.
Young person, you don't need new ways of doing things. You don't need to figure life out yourself. God has it for us. I'm not against advancement. You know what I mean by that. I'm not against new things. But I am against new principles because there aren't any. They're all here in God's Word. Right here under your nose. Don't meander around this world trying to figure it out. Listening to some burger flipping Burger King worker that's telling you how to live life. And you're going to nod and say, oh yeah, this guy knows what he's talking about. Really? God knows what he's talking about.
Amen.
Push all that aside. Listen to God. It'll save your hide.
Amen.
And many years of your life and possible even things that would be irreparable if you would have done otherwise.
Amen.
God help us. Let's pray.